Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National All-EN Payments webinar. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, September 30th, 2014. I would now like to turn the conference over to Janet Cousin. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Kevin. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Ticket to Work program monthly EN payments call. Thanks again for your participation each month. We do hope that this call continues to help you understand the many intricacies of payment processing for Ticket to Work and allow you the opportunity to ask any questions you may have. As mentioned, I'm Janet Cousin and supervisor of the Payments Help Desk Team and Document Support Services Groups. I'll be the host today. Joining me is Deborah Tennessee. She's manager of the Ticket Operations Department for the program. We also have several members of the Social Security Administration on the team, Janice Edwards and Danielle Armstrong. There aren't any handouts for today's call. However, the agenda has been posted online and is being shared via the web. As usual, this is an interactive session, and you'll be invited to ask questions after each topic. You can press 1 and then 4 on your phone, and Kevin will remind you of that when we have our Q&A sessions. We do request that any questions you have and are asking over the phone pertain to the topic at hand. Also, just keep in mind that you should not provide any information regarding your personal cases due to confidentiality. We certainly can follow up with you through the help desk if you need any assistance on those specific issues. We also have the chat room available, and Charles Powell is our technical assistant. He's going to be monitoring the chat room for you and answering any questions you have. We certainly have several resources available to assist Charles with any questions that come through that forum. So today, let's look at our agenda. The primary area of focus is on the self-employment information for self-employment income requirements for individuals that are self-employed. We also have a review for you on the upgrade that took place last week on the main yourtickettowork.com website, and that will be presented by Latasha Durrett, who's the communication specialist here with us in the program. So the question is it required for self-employed individuals? This is the SEI form that we have available on our website. Is that form required when submitting payment requests for SEI individuals? The short answer is no. The form itself is not required. However, what we want to share with you today is some of the key requirements and considerations when you're submitting payment requests for SEI individuals. On our website, from the main page, there is some information and there's the form itself is available through the Information Center link. Once you're on that page, you can click on Forms and you'll see under Payments, you'll find the form 1398. It's the self-employment income form. So that's how you can get to the form. Let's talk about a little bit more details there. So many employers are moving towards hiring independent contractors, and they are typically using a form 1099 instead of the W-2. In this circumstance, the beneficiary is being paid by an employer, but no taxes are being withheld and reported to the IRS. It is the beneficiary's responsibility to file their taxes at the end of the year, provide their 1099 from their employer, and pay those taxes. If an EN submits a payment request for an SEI beneficiary for milestone claims, it will take longer to process. Now, this is because payments cannot be made to an EN until the beneficiary files income taxes with the IRS or Social Security records show monthly earnings reported by the beneficiary and verified. SEI earnings information provided by the IRS is usually posted in the Social Security database 6 to 8 months after a beneficiary files their annual tax return around April 15th. So outcome claims are paid based on information supplied on the payment request or SEI forms. However, ENs take a risk when submitting these claims. Beneficiaries may report greater dollar amounts for expense when they file income taxes to reduce their income and tax liability. When this information is later received and posted to Social Security records, the EN may be charged with an overpayment if the earnings do not meet the qualified amount, or SGA. So those are some key distinctions between milestone claims and outcome claims. And Deborah wants to just share a little additional information.
I just want to say that even though the SEI form is not a requirement, it's in the EN's best interest to submit the form. And I tell you the reason why, because that form outlines all the information that you need to report to satisfy the requirements for processing SEI claims. SEI earnings are, we record SEI net earnings in our database, so we need three pieces of information from the beneficiary. We need their gross earnings, we need their expenses, which are deducted from their gross earnings, to give us the net income. If that information is not supplied, either we will diarize your case and request you to supply it. And again, the best way to supply it to make sure that you have all the information that's needed is to use the SEI form. If you do not provide us with that information, then we could possibly deny the claim because you have not supplied all the information that's needed. We need to know those net earnings so we can key them. Again, that form is not required, but as long as you supply all the information, gross earnings, expenses, and net earnings for a given month, then we have enough information to process the claim. And again, as Janet said, for a milestone claim, even though you may supply those net earnings, if that monthly, if those monthly earnings are not verified yet, you will have to wait until we receive information from the IRS as far as what your annual earnings are after you report your earnings on, you know, your tax returns and pay those taxes.
Good point, Deborah. Thanks for that clarification. There was a comment in the chat asking if you needed to refrain from submitting payment requests until after taxes are submitted. And the answer is no, you don't have to wait till that point. But as Deborah just mentioned, you can submit those payment requests ahead of time, but if the requirements aren't met, they'll be diarized and held until the IRS information can validate the claim. Okay? Now, there's another question that we get related to the CUBR report. So will SEI show on the quarterly beneficiary earnings report? And the answer here is no. CUBR earnings are reported to the Unemployment Compensation Agency by employers, and the data is made available to Social Security via the Office of Child Support Enforcement. So SEI data is not posted to that file. Because, again, this is not, in all cases, it's if it's self-employed, those individuals may not are not reporting it as a requirement. So, therefore, it's omitted from CUBR. So you're not going to find SEI information on the CUBR report. So, again, just for a review, milestone payments with no verified earnings will be diarized until the IRS data is posted to the SSA database. Outcome payments are paid as certified payments if the earnings are not posted. So if those earnings are posted later, the claim will be processed as an evidentiary payment request. So just to review the actual form that's available online, this can be submitted with a payment request. It does ask for the ticket holder information, their name, their Social Security number. On the employer field, you'll just indicate self-employed. There is some form of evidence needed. You can indicate recent contact with beneficiary as a recent contact option, or, again, a statement or invoice from the ticket holder that provides those key ingredients that Deborah mentioned, gross earnings, expenses, net earnings, and include the months and years the ticket holder was actively involved. Another option is, again, that self-employment form as the evidentiary supporting information for the payment request. Okay. Charles, were there any additional questions in the chat room associated with SEI?
Well, the only follow-up question was just related what needs to be submitted for a self employment income payment, and Ian can as was explained, and Ian can submit just a payment request form completing the certification payment part, but it is amended to have the beneficiary complete the SEI form.
Okay. And again, one additional note, the form does have a signature line at the bottom of there, and it is the beneficiary signature that should be included on that form. And that's certainly in your best interest to ensure that when that form is completed, the beneficiary actually signs the form prior to submission. Okay? Kevin, can we open it up to any questions that the audience may have?
Certainly. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, to register a question from the phones, press the 1 followed by the 4. We do have a question queued up from Steve Kirky, and that line's open.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
In terms of being a person that is self-employed, what is their responsibility in terms of reporting, you know, their income? Are they supposed to wait until the end of the year and then do it all at once, or how does that work for them? What should we advise them on?
Whether it's a self-employment income beneficiary or what we call a regular beneficiary, they have a responsibility to report all their earnings monthly to the field office. So I would, if you have SEI beneficiaries, I would just recommend to you to just constantly remind them that they should report their earnings to Social Security. Now, I think some of the field office would prefer to have those earnings quarterly, but, you know, they could report them monthly as well. Janice, is there anything different that, or any more to add to that?
No, it's not. Not on my end.
All righty, and they should. Can they use this same form?
No, when they report to the field office, I think they have to take a little bit more information into them. I'm not sure what those requirements are for going to the field office. This is just the form that we're using is what Maximus uses so that we can record those earnings into a database that has to be verified at a later time. But as far as what they take to the field office, I believe sometimes they do take extra documentation into the field office to show proof that they have gross earnings and show what their expenses are or whatever, but I'm not sure what those requirements are.
All righty. Thanks. So they need to get that from the local field officer office. So.
Yeah. What they need.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Kevin, is there another question?
And there is, and that question is from the line of Peter Mead, and your line's open.
Hello.
Hi.
This regards timely progress, and you may have kind of answered it already, but it'll help maybe if you spell it out a little more. I get the impression that as an EN, I want to file those SEI forms really for the purposes of timely progress, just to show that the individual is working on timely progress, and that that might really be the primary reason for doing it. Is that true, or what's the status on timely progress for people with self-employment income? Because in that first year, they might take 18 months or more to have verified income.
I think in those situations where you find 18 months, going toward 2 years, it all depends on what the beneficiary has done as far as filing their taxes. If they file their taxes within the time frame, like up to April 15th, and that information is reported to IRS, Social Security will get that information and post it to its database. But believe me, every SEI beneficiary doesn't even always report their income to file income taxes. So you may see beyond 18 months a case that's diarized because we don't have any information from IRS. So it all depends on the beneficiary filing their taxes, reporting their income monthly to Social Security, which could verify monthly earnings earlier than what it would be to wait for those tapes coming or those files coming in from the IRS once they report, their taxes for the year.
So even just totally forgetting the question that most ENs have, which is like, gee, how do I get paid, which is a big deal. But totally aside from that question is, how do you verify that the person has met timely progress requirements? Do you have some kind of a protocol for delaying your work review on them?
Well, this is just the payments department. That's another group. For your question, we can take your question and submit it to our program integrity staff, but we and payments don't tie what we do here to timely progress. So I can't answer that right now for you.
We can certainly, again, take that question for you and get back to you.
Excellent. Thanks.
Peter Mead.
Thank you, Peter.
And could you restate that question again? How does these SEI earnings tie into timely progress? Is that what you said?
I guess what I'd say is, how does Maximus or SSA verify timely progress in the case of a self-employed individual where there may be long delays in getting income verified?
And that would be true for any earnings that are reported. We have a number of earnings that are alleged earnings that are not SEI, but they're not verified. So it could take a long period of time to verify any earnings that are alleged earnings reported without primary evidence, meaning pay stubs or whatever. So, and until the point where we either get information in from IRS, it's going to be open. It's, until we have confirmation of earnings for any beneficiary, not just SEI, it could take a long period of time.
Okay.
So once again, ladies and gentlemen, to register a question from the phones, press 1-4.
So we can submit that over to our program integrity staff.
Yeah, we'll pass that on to program integrity and have someone get back to you. Kevin, were there any additional questions?
We do have one more just coming through, and that's from Janet Stivola. Please, your line's open.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Janet. I was wondering if somebody's self-employed, and I have one person in this situation who's not very good at reporting his earnings to me, and my guess is that at the end of the year he may not file an income tax return. But I'm guessing, too, that his employer is going to be giving him a 1099. Does that 1099 information go to Social Security in some way?
I know that, as far as I know, I don't believe 1099 goes to SSA. I know SSA receives W-2 information, and I know that SSA receives earnings from IRS files, but the 1099 is a form that is filed with the IRS, so I don't believe Social Security would get that at all.
So is there, I mean, I'm trying to work with her at reporting, but my guess is he's not very good at follow-through on these kinds of things. So there'd be no way that that income would ever be looked at?
No, I just encourage the beneficiary that, you know, by law he should be reporting his income. And he should be paying taxes if he hasn't, if it is a contractor, should be paying taxes. But then in the long run, to tell you the truth, I know people will sometimes want to get the most in a paycheck that they can, but it's really a disadvantage not reporting and not paying taxes, because FICA taxes will affect your retirement, monthly retirement amount at some point in the future. So, you know, a beneficiary should always want to make sure that their earnings are posted and that the appropriate FICA taxes are paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would be what I would use, you know, as the, I don't know what you want to call it, but I would use that line to beneficiaries, because they're really disadvantaging themselves for the future by not reporting their earnings.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Kevin, do we have any additional calls? Questions?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Very good. Any additional questions in the chat, Charles, that we should
review? Well, just one EN. Made a comment. I thought the IRS gave SSA earnings information, which from our discussion here, yes, they do, but it's based on the beneficiary reporting their taxes each year, and then that's passed down the line from the IRS to SSA, which then updates their database with the information from IRS.
And just to clarify that, in regards to the previous question about whether the SSA receives the 1099 specific information. So it is at the end of the year when the IRS provides updated information to SSA, typically in the August-September timeframe, that we would have that information. But for the specific 1099s, you know, we don't know exactly how that information is shared with SSA or how it's provided. We're not getting any monthly or quarterly updates from the IRS on for SE.
We do.
Yes.
Okay.
Let me clarify what IRS gives us. IRS can give us some monthly files, some quarterly files, and some annual files. There are two forms that regular employers, not forms, but files that regular employers submit. One is a W-2 file, and that lists each beneficiary or each of their staff that they pay FICA, you know, whatever earnings they have individually for a particular, a particular staff person who works for them in a company. So if there are 100, you have 100 employees, then there would be 100 W-2s or 100 lines of data for W-2s for those individual people, if I can, the best way to say that. The other form or the other piece of information regular employers will report to IRS is by way of a W-3, and that's a total number of dollars and total number of beneficiaries or not necessarily beneficiaries, but employees hired by a particular company under their EIN, dollar amounts, or whatever. Then there's SEI. There's a different file that, that the IRS will produce. normally, as Janet just mentioned, SEI data starts to come in several months after the end of tax season, whereas W-2 information can be submitted by employers at the point where the end of the calendar year ends, like December 31st, 2013, and January, February, we start getting W-2 information. But it takes longer for SEI data to come in because most people will not file their taxes for SEI until April 15th or later if they file, because they may have to pay taxes on those earnings. So we may... Most of, I would say, 75 to 80% of any filings that we have received or SSA has received is posted to their master earnings file by August or September of each year. It's going to be a little bit longer for SEI because SEI beneficiaries or SEI employees may take longer or later to start reporting their information. So that's why it's such a long period of time. It's not that SSA takes a long period to post or do anything with SEI earnings. It depends on when we receive that information from IRS based on when individuals file their income tax. Okay. So actually there is information that comes into SSA throughout the year after the previous year has ended, the tax year has ended.
Great. Thanks for that clarification, Deborah. Okay. Any additional questions, Kevin?
There's nothing from the phones just now, but maybe as a reminder, press 1-4.
Okay, and we're clear on the chat. Okay. Well, then, let's move on to our second agenda item. That was a great discussion. Self-employment income reporting is a unique process for us, and it is important to ensure that you understand. Remember, there is information available, and that form is accessible via our website at yourtickettowork.com under the Information Center, and you can click on Forms and find a form there. So Latasha is with us today. As you guys should be aware, we did provide an upgrade to the main website that was upgraded last week. And Latasha, we just wanted to take a little bit of time in today's meeting to review what some of those changes were and allow you an opportunity to ask any questions about the upgrade. And so I'll pass it over to you, Latasha.
Okay, thank you, Janet. Hello, good afternoon, everyone. As Janet said, I'm Latasha Durrett, and I'm a communications specialist here at OSM. We're going to do just a quick run-through of the website today. We'll also address it on the All EN call on Thursday, October 2nd. So right now, if you are linked to the webinar, you should be able to see everything that we are going through on the website. The first page you will encounter when you log in is the home page. Before the upgrade, which was rolled out on last Friday, September 26th, we really did not have a home page. We had an announcements page, and now we have a dedicated home page. This just includes a welcome to the website. If you can scroll up, Alexa. On the top of this page, you will see navigation that is very similar to the old Ticket to Work website. The black bar there provides you with links to our external partners, including Social Security, the Social Security worksite, BAS, which is labeled here as for beneficiaries, and then you can get back to our site by clicking on for service providers. Here is where you'll also find the portal sign-in, which is indicated with a gold key. And then you'll also see the options for you to make text bigger or smaller, depending on your vision needs and the device you are viewing the web page on. Also, you'll notice that if you are attempting to view the website on a smaller screen, say a tablet or a phone or a smaller laptop, you may not see the navigation as it is appearing right now. Instead, you will have to click on a button with three lines that you'll see, and then you will have a list of the navigation in a box. So then if you go down, you'll see that we also have the search box, the Ticket to Work logo, which still gets you back to this homepage from anywhere in the site. And you'll see that we have new navigation. The website before was divided into three sections, one for employment networks, one for vocational rehabilitation, and one for potential ENs. Now we have taken a different approach and divided it out into About Ticket to Work, Employment Networks, Program Operations, Vocational Rehabilitation, the Information Center, and Related Resources. So first we'll click on About Ticket to Work. So this is where you will find all of the histories, any sort of intro information about the Ticket to Work program. You'll also find FAQs here. There used to be FAQs separated for employment networks and state vocational rehabilitation agencies. Now they're all in one place under About Ticket to Work. Okay, if you click on Employment Networks, you'll see this is where we have moved information about suitability. This will probably get moved to the Information Center, but for now it's in this section. And then if you go over to Program Operations and scroll down, this is where all of the information about payments is. And you'll find a lot of the same payment information located here. We've also added a section about tracking payments, which you'll see if you scroll down in the navigation. And we invite you to use all of these resources to figure out answers to your questions, FAQs, before contacting the payment help desk. And then if you go to Information Center, you'll notice that this is largely the same as from the older website, but we did make an effort to make certain areas of this more more organized. So if you look at the calendar of events, you'll see that it is laid out by date instead of event, and that now everything is sort of consolidated onto this table instead of just freestyle. You'll also see, if you look in the on the training page, that the training is organized now according to topic and category instead of just by alphabetical order. So hopefully you're able to find the trainings you are looking for, and they are grouped accordingly so that you can do them in a certain order that makes more sense. Then if you look at resource documents, these are all laid out the same. We have updated them, the order in which they are posted, so that they make more sense as to the order that you would need them in as an EN. And then if you go into forms, this is where you can find all the forms. And, of course, payments forms are also located here, including the SEI form that was just discussed. So if you need to use that, please go here to locate that and see what it looks like. We've also consolidated our events archive. And if you go into this now, it is a lot more readable, a lot more user-friendly. And that's what we try to do with the entire website, and hopefully you'll see that as you go through this. So everything here is any event that we've held in 2013, 2014, and all the Section 503 readiness training, along with the community of practice event dates, are located here in this archive as well. So that's a general overview of the new website. We are going to still be rolling out upgrades sort of behind the scenes to fix some of the issues. Currently, there's an issue with the portal sign-in. I know that some of you have had, so that is being worked on, as well as issues with the search function. It is greatly improved, but there are some display issues with that, so those are also being worked on. So that's it as far as the walkthrough. If you have questions, just let us know.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Thanks, Latasha, for walking through that. Again, the goal and intent of the upgrade was to make the site more user-friendly, organize the information in a way that it's easier to find for you. In some cases, we had information in multiple places, and we've simplified that and organized it in a way that, again, we hope that it's more user-friendly and helpful for you. So, Kevin, if you can open the line to any questions that may be available.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to register a question, press 1-4 on your phone. You'll hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. So we do have a question from Steve Gerke. Please go ahead.
Hi, Steve.
Hello. Hi again. Yeah, I was actually on the new portal today, and I was working on the timely progress review for one of my people, and I got an error message, and it says it cannot be saved. I would just, and it said come back later or report it to the help desk. So I was just, you know, wondering what I should do there. I guess I can report it to the help desk, but when I went back in later, it still wouldn't save it, and I just wanted to make sure that this person who did achieve their progress review is given credit for that.
Absolutely.
So you're saying that there is a you're unable to submit a TPR response?
Yeah, when I hit submit, I got an error message that it could not be saved.
Okay. Is it possible that some of the questions were not answered?
I only answered one question because the first question was the only one that seemed appropriate.
There is a problem that you're working on to fix it, so going forward you shouldn't have this problem. For now, we are in a situation where you need to answer every question. What you could do is for the questions for which you felt it's inappropriate, or if you don't have the answer, you could choose not sure.
Okay.
And then if you submit it, it should go through.
Okay. All right, awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Steve. That was a great question. Sorry that you had the issue. And the mystery voice was from Sonny, who's our architect for the website and key contributor for the upgrade. Thanks for that answer, Sonny.
Sorry, I should have introduced myself. Thanks, Janet.
Yes. Kevin, do we have any additional questions in the queue?
We do have a few coming through. One of them is from Paula Villette, and please go ahead. Your line's open.
Hi, this is Paula. I had a question about the 100-word descriptor. Is that going to be added to this new website? Where the ENs get the 100-word descriptor, or is this just the – is this new website incorporating that too?
That is something that actually BAS supplies, and we don't know if they're going to supply that yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so if we get it, it will be added. If not, then it will remain off.
Okay, so it's the new design doesn't incorporate that yet.
No, it does not.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for the question, Paula.
Next question comes from the line of Kim Carnley. Please go ahead.
This is more of a comment. As I'm using the portal today, I found that I used to go through Firefox as the browser, but now Firefox is not working, but Safari is, which is strange, but it's okay for me. I'm on. But usually I just go straight through Firefox and get right onto the portal.
This is Tani here again. That's interesting, and we'll take note of it and we'll take a look at it. But before we did roll out, we tested on the top four popular browsers, and it seemed to work for us. But what we'll do is if we will take note of it, we'll keep an open eye and look for specific scenarios, and probably in Firefox it's not working or something. And if we learn anything, we will provide an update to everybody.
Well, one thing that would be helpful for us is if you happen to know what version of Firefox you're using, we can make a note of that, or you can send that to the Systems Help Desk email, and that might be helpful in troubleshooting.
Yes, that would definitely be useful.
Checking to find out what it is. Thank you.
Is that something you're able to do now, or did you want to just send it to us via the
system? Yes, I'm looking for it now.
Okay.
I'm looking in the preferences to see what the version is, network. I'm not that familiar with Firefox. I can't tell you where to go, but it's the latest because I just updated it.
Okay. Well, as Sonny mentioned, we'll do some additional testing on that area and see if there's any issues with Firefox. But as mentioned, the preliminary testing seemed okay. But thanks for sharing that feedback with us. Okay, glad to know you're working with Chrome. Thanks.
And our next question comes from the line of Virginia Cox, and your line's open.
Hi, this is Eugenia Cox with Oregon VR. I went on the portal last week, and I tried to pull off the tickets that I have assigned to me to the state of Oregon, and it gave me an amount of like 32, and I knew that was wrong. So I went to my rep, and he sent me an actual list, and there was like 112. They were going to look into it. Is anybody else having that problem? Or is that being looked at?
Well, we haven't received any reports as of yet since the upgrade that the data is in such a conflict as what you're reporting. So we can certainly review that.
They just said when they sent me the list, they said they were going to look into it.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Which list are you referring to? Is it an assignment status report or a TPR list? Which list are you referring to?
No. You know where you go in to see what tickets you have assigned to you? Not in use. Ticket assigned.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
you get to choose?
Yeah, what we call as the assignment status report?
Yes.
Okay. So you are saying that you had much lesser list. Okay.
Yeah, there was like 32 on the list when there should have been 112 currently assigned.
Okay.
So you're working with someone on that, or you?
Yeah, I thought they were looking into it, but I didn't know if anybody had heard that anybody else was having that problem.
We're not aware of a general issue around this. It's probably very specific, and could be a factor of the various filter criteria that's on top. If somebody is looking at it, we'll see if we can follow up with them and find out what's going on in this case.
Okay, and then I sent it to James Wackerbarth, so whether he's working with them, I don't know, but I haven't heard back.
I can follow up with them also in addition to see if I can help in any way to speed up a response.
And then the other thing that I found, when you go on to look to see the availability of a ticket, and it tells you when it tells you it's assigned to a VR agency, is there any way to know how they're assigned? Are they in use, or are they in ticket assignment status? And that's important for us because we do both.
I think you should be able to, the information it displays is, if it uses the word it's assigned, then it's assigned in either a milestone or outcome payment method. If it says in use, it should say in use when it's with a VR in a cost reimbursement mode.
Yeah, and it doesn't, I'll have to look, but it didn't distinguish. I looked up both, and I couldn't tell the difference.
Oh, okay.
And that would help. That would help an EN. That would help, you know, anybody. Because if an EN goes to look it up and it says it's in use, then they know that it's just being used with the VR agency.
So to your question, I think the system is built to show the difference. If there's any inaccuracy in the result you're seeing, it's probably a data issue that we need to look into. So for that, we will probably need the specific example for us to do further analysis on that, why that particular response is going to be an incorrect response. But the system is designed to show the distinction.
Okay. Yeah. And initially on that page, if you have to dig someplace else, I haven't done that. But initially when you just come in, go in, punch in a Social Security number, and then it brings up and it says last assigned or assigned to vocational rehabilitation. But again, that doesn't tell you anything because there's 14 states that do both. So you don't know as an individual, anybody is looking at it, how do they actually have that ticket assigned?
Yes, it's a valid point. And so if you have a specific example that you can shoot up to the EN systems help at yourtickettowork.com, our help desk email address, or if you're already interacting with James and you can send an email to him in an encrypted form, then
I told him about it way back. So he was going to see if that could be added if it wasn't already a function.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Virginia. Those were some good, Eugenia, some good comments. And we're sorry you're having an issue, but certainly you can follow up with the system's help if you don't get or if James needs some additional assistance, we can partner with him, as Donnie offered.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Stacy Patel. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Stacy, your line's open.
Oh, thank you. Yes, thanks for actually, I'm going back. I think you guys went ahead. This goes back to an earlier caller. I'm sorry, but maybe your other callers know. But what's I had two questions. One is, what's a 100-word descriptor? I wasn't familiar with that jargon. And my second question, which is the last question, was, I know you said you designed the portal for the top four popular browsers. Can you just down for me, please? Thanks.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're coming in as a very soft tone. So I heard your first question was, what is the 100-word descriptor?
Correct.
And what was your second question?
The top four popular browsers you designed the portal for.
The top four browsers are Chrome, Firefox, Safari, and Internet Explorer.
I'd like to rephrase the response a little. This should work on most browsers. There's no reason why it shouldn't work on any of the browsers that people are using. What we tested for was in those four browsers that Latasha just mentioned. So in theory, it should work on most of the browsers that's out there in the market, Opera and other stuff that's out there. It should work.
Okay. Thank you.
And as far as your question about the 100-word descriptor, it was a part of the EN directory, and it has been removed, and we think it will be added back in the future, but we don't know exactly when because that is not an element of our actual website. We get that from the BAS beneficiary side. And when we do add that back, we will let you know on a future call.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Good question. Thank you. Kevin?
We do have a follow-up from Steve Gerke. Please go ahead.
Yes, two things. First of all, I use Firefox, and I've been able to get into it successfully, so just for that. And then I applied for the extra security through Social Security, signed up for, and did a website and all that. And I received a letter, and it's giving me a one-time account upgrade code. My understanding is that you folks need that. I think, is that the code that you need? And if it is the correct code that you need, when do you need it?
We don't need that code yet, so just please hold on to it. But you should use it to add the extra security now.
Okay. So you'll be getting an email out to us about when you actually need this information then?
Yes, you'll receive communications on all of that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Great, thanks, Steve. Kevin?
Nothing else from the phones at the moment.
Okay, great. Thanks, everyone, for those questions. That was a good session. There's some good questions and comments there. And, again, for those that we have some follow-up to do, we'll certainly follow up with you. The other reminders that we wanted to share today, one is related to the payment status report. Again, we did stop sending that report electronically as of August 29. It's now available through the portal only. And we've gotten a few follow-up questions about that report, so you're welcome to go on to the portal and review the report. There's some filtering capabilities there, and you can also find a helpful presentation on how to use the online version of the report through the Information Center on the website. So use that as a resource if you're not familiar. It's pretty user-friendly, but again, the filtering capability does allow you to narrow or expand your search for records for that report. Another piece of information we wanted to share today is our Payments and Systems Help Desk has been available for support Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And as effective tomorrow, October 1st, going forward on the new year, those hours are being adjusted. They'll be available 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Certainly, you're welcome to send email messages, and we'll follow up with you around the clock on those during business hours. But our help desk hours will be changing effective tomorrow. Okay. Thanks again for your participation in the call today. Again, we look forward to chatting with you next month. Reminder, if you have any future topics that you'd like us to cover during this call, you can also send those recommended topics to the EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com. We'll be happy to consider those for future discussions. Thanks again, everyone. Have a great day.
And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude your webinar for today. We thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect.
Oh, he's very funny.